Good morning. It's great to be with you all here on this wonderful morning, on this seventh Sunday after the Epiphany, which means that Lent is coming up very soon. I think we are about 10 days away from Ash Wednesday, so it is indeed exciting times. But also today is a very exciting day, just because it is another Lord's Day, but in which we get to gather together to receive God's promises, to receive his body and blood at the Lord's Supper, to receive the forgiveness of sins, where God comes to us literally in his presence to strengthen us and to provide for us with his many blessings. Now let us sing with thanksgiving our first hymn, number 834.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, Mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins a good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?' You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other kind of grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same. But there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. our epistle reading this morning, Paul makes an unusual boast. While speaking to the Christians at Corinth, we read in verse 31, Paul saying, "I die every day." And while there's probably a few things that Paul is here thinking of, both physical and spiritual death, what strikes me first of all, though, is just how at peace Paul is at the thought of death. It's as if he's speaking of death on such familiar terms. Death is certainly no stranger to Paul. His lips didn't stutter, his speech didn't waver. We see him rather declaring it. And again, he even seems to be boasting about it. I die every day. And quite honestly, I don't think that Paul is even here speaking in hyperbole. Perhaps he's not literally dying physically every day, but I'd venture to guess that no one has lived on the brink of death quite like the Apostle Paul. For as the previous verse reads, Paul likewise says, "I am in danger every hour." Every day, Paul tried to live the Christian life to the fullest. And what seemed like every day, because of that, he experienced a whole slew of dangers. While serving the Lord wholeheartedly, he yet still suffered shipwreck and abandonment. He experienced venomous snake bites. We're told elsewhere that 5 times did he receive 40 lashes from the Jews. On countless other occasions, he's been beaten with rods and whips. He's experienced stoning, starvation, and thirst. And even when nearing the end of his life, we see him imprisoned for no less than the 3rd time. Truly, Paul lived in danger every day and on the brink of death. For even in prison, dear friends, do we read in his letters such hints of just how cold he was at night. Daily, he seemed to be on the brink of hypothermia as we watch him pleading with Timothy to bring him his cloak. Considering all the threats and dangers that Paul went through, again, I don't think it was hyperbole when he said, "I'm in danger every hour, and I die every day." And yet, most amazingly, Paul was so at peace with his lot. No amount of suffering, no amount of danger would ever stop him from loving and serving his neighbor. He could have easily have just hung up his hat and said, "Enough is enough," that it's not all worth it. He could have gone right back to making tents and making an honest living any other way. And yet, dear friends, no amount of danger could ever stop him from living and sacrificing for his fellow man. For Paul, he understood that living the Christian life meant to be living sacrificially. And indeed, it was oftentimes accompanied with dangers and threats. He understood that living the Christian life meant living in a community in which he could pour himself out in service for. And no threat could ever stop him from fulfilling that command, "Let us not neglect from meeting together." Neither the threat of sword nor persecution nor any other danger could stop Paul from living sacrificially in a community of brothers and sisters. And I think we have to ask ourselves, how could Paul live like that? How could he live in such peace when there was this constant threat of death looming over him? I think those are valuable questions to ask ourselves, and even to ask ourselves in the spirit of self-reflection. For Paul was perfectly at peace with a thought of death. You know, it's the way of the world to fear death. We do all that we can to brush it off and even any reminder of it. I remember in my hometown how people literally petitioned for a funeral home not to be built. Others with at least a little more understanding, for they at least relented a little bit, saying that if there was going to be one, then at least build it off of the main road. Have it set back a little ways, they said, where it wouldn't serve as this constant reminder of our mortality. People just don't want to think about death. This past week, I ran over a few quotes about how death, though, is inevitable. It was said that our heartbeats are like muffled drums beating funeral marches to the tomb. And it was again said that the very moment that we begin to live, we commence to die. We're like into hourglasses where the sands begin to fall the very moment that we are conceived. I can fully admit that these are indeed solemn thoughts, and they're certainly powerful in making us feel uncomfortable. By nature, we have these self-preserving instincts, and because of them, we are often led to shun all reminders of our mortality. But that's not Paul's experience. For again, Paul proved so perfectly at peace, even while so dangerously living on that brink of death. And yet, dear friends, that is not a reality that ought to be unique to the Apostle Paul. And it's not a privilege that Paul alone can or should enjoy. Truly, that is rather to be the reality of all of God's people. It's the way of the world to fear death. As the author of Hebrews says, the world lives subject to lifelong slavery because of their fear of death. But for the Christian, what is death to them? For the child of God, how should you and I confront and think about it? Should we not find it within ourselves and to declare with the Apostle Paul, saying, death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Is that spirit of confident assurance not within us, by which God's people are led to declare, to die is gain? What is death but a pinpoint in time when our souls shall leave these corrupted bodies and be forever with the Lord? If death is an annihilation, then I could understand having such a fear. But praise be to God who has made death to become as to us a servant. Jesus has so trampled over death that he has made this ruthless enemy even a servant of his people. To die is gain, Paul says. It's as if a portal by which your soul shall be freed from this world to the next, where you will dwell in the presence of the Lord God forever. I'm reminded of a statue I saw a few years back. At first, when you look at it, you can only see half of the statue. At first, it looks like just a large wall with a curtain door. And on the porch of the door, you see an elderly woman. She's hunched over. She's short, has gray, curly hair. And you can see her eyes and on her expression that she is totally tired, weak, and worn out. You can tell she's lived a long life, and her countenance is sorrowful, and she appears most ready for her eternal rest. And as you continue looking, you next see her hand reaching out to the curtain, and she's getting ready to part the drapes and walk through. As an outside observer, though, you and I are able to walk around and peer onto the other side of the curtain. And when you do, you see that same woman again, but just seconds later. She appears to be still making her way through the doorway. She's still not even quite all the way through, as her hind legs are still trailing behind through the curtain. And yet, most wonderfully, you see her totally transformed. The same woman as before now looks youthful and vibrant. She has her strength returned to her, and her cane is gone. And she is there on the other side of the door, joyfully stumbling or lunging herself into the arms of Jesus. And there does her Savior, with nail prints in his hands, greet her in paradise. He has his arms open, ready to embrace and to receive this daughter into eternity. Dear friends, death is that curtain. It is that doorway by which God's people find themselves in the presence of a holy, perfect, and sovereign God. For Jesus has taken the sting out of death. He's taken the pain out of death. You might look at someone on their deathbed and be tempted to say that death looks so painful. I know that I have certainly thought that before myself. But truly, we must remember and remind ourselves that those are not death pains, dear friends. Those are indeed life's pains. Those are the pains of these fallen bodies continuing to struggle on. Those short breaths and fidgets are indeed the pains of life. For in all actuality, death is nothing but an eternal rest for the one who clings to Jesus. For Jesus has taken the pains of death away. He's taken those pains upon himself. See the holes in his hands that held him fast to the cross. See the gaping hole that pierced him through to the heart. Jesus is the one who experienced the pains of death while he was yet still living. Jesus suffered that spiritual death. He suffered death and hell on earth, for which he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Death pains are taken away from you, dear friends, for Christ has suffered them all while he was still living and breathing for you. The righteous Father had poured out his vengeance upon the one still living. Jesus experienced the pains of death so that you wouldn't have to. Well, dear friends, this practice of dying daily ought to be nothing unique to Paul. We all should be living for our neighbors and live free from the fear of death. For again, has Christ made death to become our servant for victory? For as we saw last week, there is indeed a resurrection from the dead. The unanimous testimony of the apostles is that Christ has conquered death. We see him obtaining the keys of death and Hades as he burst through the tomb on that Easter morning. And I just love that detail of the angel who's said to be sitting upon that gravestone that had been rolled away. It's as if he is taunting heaven and earth, as if daring all of the forces of darkness and of Satan to just try and roll that stone back. I dare you to close the grave again, I think I hear him say. But know this, that the strong man has burst through the tomb. The Lord Jesus has broken death's pains, and not even death can hold him back or his people back from life eternal. In a certain sense, Paul rightly said that he dies daily. In a very physical sense, he lived routinely on the brink of death. But then there's another sense in which that statement is proven true as well. For not only did he die physically, but he also seemed to die daily spiritually. For how often did Paul deny himself, denying his sinful pleasures as if starving them and killing them? Paul could rightly say that he died daily, for he followed his own command where he drowned the old Adam every day. Each and every day, he remembered his baptism. He called to mind his baptismal identity as a child of God, as one who has been slain by the law, buried, and raised again to newness of life. One who now lives with that indwelling spirit, working, moving, and calling him and us to die daily and to die according to the ways of the flesh. The old man and the old nature within us dies daily, Paul says, and the new man must rise and live a sacrificial way in love for the neighbor. Paul has so much to say concerning the spiritual art of dying daily. And throughout his epistles, he has hundreds of practical examples and ideas of what dying daily looks like. It's tempting to just stay here in Paul's letters, but I don't want to miss the opportunity to just touch briefly on what Jesus says in our gospel readings this morning. For if you want a practical example of what it looks like to die daily in the Spirit, Jesus lays it out before us here. If you're looking to see what it means for someone to die according to the old nature and live in the new, Jesus has the prescription here. See just how far above God's ways and his calling are above the ways of man. As verse 32 of the gospel reading suggests, it's the way of the world to love those who love you, but it is the way of God to love those who hate you. It's the way of the world to give and to lend to those who might give and lend to you in return. But it's the way of God to give freely and to lend generously, even to those who would never do the same for you. It's a hard teaching. And I think as people, we hesitate those who we think would take advantage of us. We're slow to help those who would refuse to thank us. We fail to lend a helping hand to the one who has refused to help us in the past. But see what the calling of the Christian is and what it means to die daily. It's to live generously and freely. It's to deny yourself, to die daily according to the flesh, and to live according to that new nature within you. That is the Christian's calling, to live in the ways of God. May we die daily according to our fallen nature, helping, serving, and loving even our enemies amongst us, to overcome evil with good. For that is truly the way of God, who served us and loved us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, dear friends, may we go forth in peace and confidence and in the love of God, dying daily and serving one another in the name of the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, you are mighty in all of your ways. You are sovereign, and you order all things according to your wisdom, love, and strength. All things are subject to you, as you indeed have the whole world in your hands. Lead us in joyful praise and thanksgiving, that there is no limit to your power, for you have conquered even death itself, and you have made it subject to your will. And so we glorify you, Lord, and we make your name great on the earth for all that you have done for us. Lead us always in celebration that we have a merciful and good God who works all things together for our good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, for our sakes you sent your beloved Son to put on flesh and to dwell among us. Out of love, it pleased you to send your Son to die in our place, taking upon himself our sins. Move your Spirit within us to magnify your name for your loving kindness, and give us the spirit of confidence and assurance. As we look upon your works and your word, comfort us in the truth that you are for us forever, for you are on our side, and you have brought us into a right relationship with you. Grant us peace knowing that you did not spare your own Son. And so, most certainly, you will also graciously give us all things that are good and profitable for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, you are our rock and strong tower. You are our fortress and deliverer. And nothing can touch us as we hide ourselves in you. For you graciously protect and shield us from the works of the enemy. Give us peace as we continue to serve your kingdom. And as we continue to work and serve our neighbors, we ask that you would help us to not fear the world, the kingdom of darkness, nor even death itself, knowing that you have trampled underfoot all of your enemies. You reign sovereignly, and you have made even death to be your servant. Grant us your spirit of loving trust that casts out all fear. For truly at the end of our days on this earth, we shall find ourselves eternally in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we thank you for caring for your people. You are intimately concerned with the welfare of your children. And as you've said, precious in your sight are the death of the saints. Be with all your people who are struggling with the trials of this world. You know all the needs of all of your people, and nothing has caught you off guard. And so we continue lifting before you all of our shut-ins and nursing home residents. Those who are unable to gather in this fellowship, we ask that you would surround them at other times with loving and supportive friends, families, and neighbors. And gracious Lord, we also lift before you the Hepting family, as Tom's younger brother, Tim, passed away earlier this week. We ask that as they grieve his loss, that you would help them to grieve in hope. For you are coming again to raise the dead again. We ask you to surround the family with your strong presence, to comfort and sustain them in faith. And likewise, do we continue to pray for the Brandt family, as they also laid the body of Earl to rest this week. And also the family of Slint Snyder. We ask that you would give peace to all these who are grieving. Give them strength to look towards you for everything that is true, beautiful, and good. Put eternity into the hearts of your children, that we may have eyes to look forward to the day when we will spend every day with you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand as you're able? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.